Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne, a lyrical analysis of Kanye West. My name is Chris Lambert, and today we have a story with the man behind At Did Yandy Drop, Jackson himself, who has been entertaining for over a year now, or almost a year now. It was November 2018 you got going. Jackson, thanks for being here.
Hey, you know, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here, really. I've been listening to you guys for quite some time, actually, and, you know, really enjoy the breakdowns of the songs and whatnot. And when I've been listening to the story, it's always funny to me because you got all these, you know, guys on that are like, yeah, I've, you know, worked with Kanye on a few tracks, or yeah, you know, I'm like, I'm a rapper in New York City, and, you know, I'm working my way up, and I'm here like, hey, I run an account on Twitter that says no every day.
That's one of the cool things about the story is, though, it's just like, I don't know, you get a variety of people that all have this experience with Kanye's music, and getting to see from just, you know, we've interviewed just fans that just want to talk about their Kanye experience, mm-hmm. to recently Mike Dean, which was really cool.
That one was awesome.
And everything in between. So yeah, it's nice to have you on. And it's funny because I remember when your account first got going, seeing the updates, and it's been fun watching the humor escalate over time and the drama of the account. And I've always been very entertained and impressed by your diligence with it.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Yeah. When I first started, I started it, it was November last year. I think it was like, it was either right before or right after Black Friday, you know, when Kim was like, hey, it's dropping today, guys, seriously. Spoiler. But, I was on Xbox with some friends, and one of them was like, hey, you should start one of those accounts that just says like no every day. Cause you know, there's a bunch of those accounts on Twitter and just every social media. And so I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And I started it, and I think first couple of days I probably had like 10 followers, of which like 7 were my friends. So, you know, I was like, yeah, this will just be like some stupid joke thing I keep running for a couple weeks. And then, you know, just some people actually started finding it funny. And so I was like, all right, I'll start being a little more creative with it and not just say no every day. And so there have been some days where I sit there for a few minutes thinking about like, oh, what am I going to do today? Am I going to be like creative and funny, or am I just going to say no? And so there's some days you can tell I'm pretty lazy about it, but I try and be at least, you know, worthwhile so that people, you know, like when I show up on their timeline instead of being like, oh, this guy again.
Yeah. Can he say something else other than no?
Yeah. No, I think I don't know. I think it helps to kind of have like that, you know, personality or character sort of to the account rather than just no, 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 et cetera.
There's just having no can get you some followers, and there's that initial mm-hmm. novelty, like, this is funny, but it's when you start adding in the personality that people are like, you know what, I'm gonna stick around for this.
I like to think so. I try and, you know, I've had like images, videos, I'll make like Kanye lyrics into, you know, Yandy related things, so it's always pretty good. And probably my favorite part about running it is actually like the people who like interact with it, you know, and make jokes off of it too. Those are always great to see.
I'm looking back at like the original posts, and it was just no, 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 no. And it wasn't until November 27th you had your first meme. that was the Mo from The Simpsons being like, "Not today, old friend."
Yeah.
But you can see the difference in likes. Just, you know, you've been getting kind of a constant 200, and then that one goes up to 440.
Yeah.
Just a different experience with it. Was that kind of a moment where you're like, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the first time I was like, I'll do something, you know, kind of funny or whatever. And it was like, because, you know, I've got like group chats and stuff, and I'll just send like reaction images. So I'll be like, "Hey, why don't I do that like actually on Twitter?" that first time it got a pretty decent jump in likes, and I was like, okay, all right, I might actually have something here. And so I'm like, they seem to enjoy, you know, the photos or like creativity stuff that you can like tell the effort was put in at least. And so I was like, I got to start doing that now, because I could tell there was a very different interaction rate between like if I was just like, no, or like, hey guys, no, but like in a joking way. So
what had you always been interested in social media?
I've always liked social media. I've never taken it too seriously, like some people seem to, but I think it's just a great place to just be able to, you know, joke around and have a good time, especially on Twitter. That's by far my favorite one, but the one I'm on most.
Yeah,
even before Yandy.
There's so much interaction on Twitter. Like, Instagram comments, I feel like, are such a hassle to try to like deal with, go through, be entertained by.
Yep. Yeah, and to me, you know, I think on every social media platform, there's some element of, you know, self-centeredness and kind of, not narcissism, but like, you know, that kind of idea. Where you're like, hey, me, you know, check out me and like my life and how cool I am. But I feel like that's, you know, more apparent on Instagram with, you know, photos and stuff like that being the basis of the platform. But on Twitter, I found that a lot of people, you know, are more willing to joke around, have discussions, you know, talk about things in legitimate manners, which I've always really enjoyed. And the people I've met through the account have been great. There's people that I would have never known. Including you guys, you know, talking to you and interacting with you on Twitter has always been really fun. You know, it's been a pretty good experience, I think.
Same. I've enjoyed like the daily updates. And it's one of the things, like every time it would pop up or I'd see it, I'd be like, yes, like good. And then the account growing to, it's currently at 11,600 followers. Mm-hmm. At what point did it start to feel more than you expected?
That's tough. So the growth was pretty slow at first, which is to be expected because, you know, it's hard to actually get yourself noticed. But I think I made a post on like the R. Kanye subreddit, and I was like, hey guys, I made this account, and it was at like 30 followers or something like that. And I was like, hey guys, I made this account for about Yandy. You should follow it, you know, kind of like half joking. And I expected most people to tell me to just like leave, be like, stop self-promoting and shit like that. You know, it's the internet. But no, people responded pretty well. And I think over the next like 2 days, I gained like 400 or 500 followers from it.
That's, you know, amazing.
It got like, yeah, it got to like the top of like the hot page on Kanye for a second. And it was, I think that was like the first moment when I was like, hey, this could be something. And then after the first, like, well, I think once I hit 1,000 followers, I was like, all right, now this is actually like a serious thing now that I've got to like devote time to. So,
did it ever start to tilt from easy entertainment into more of a burden? I'm sure there are days where you're like, I don't want to.
Oh yeah. No. And I've tried to be vigilant, but I know for a fact there've been at least like 3 or 4 days that I have just completely forgotten to tweet. And, you know, I always try and at least put something out in the day. And whether that's at like 11:58 at night or like 4 in the morning or something, when I'm like, I'll just get it done. You know, and some days you can tell the creativity is running pretty low. But, you know, I've always been entertained by it, and I never really thought of it like a burden. You know, I do think eventually I probably want to switch it to something else, you know, do something else to the account, because I don't want to just be saying no for like the rest of my life. you know, Or, you know, if an album drops out, hey, cool. But there's just got to be some after, I think. And I don't want to set up a bot to do it because, again, I think the character probably plays into the account's fun and novelty, you know.
Yeah, what a blow to the ego if you set up a bot and it just continues to be, like, it reaches 50,000 followers and you're like, son of a...
For real. And it's like, I could have done so much more.
Yeah, right? Like, you think that bot's entertaining? Like, let the real Jackson be back.
Yeah. No, that's what really would have been a slap in the face. I set up a bot and then it just explodes. And it's like, cool. They didn't even like me. Awesome.
I see how it is. It's funny, like, for R. Kanye being kind of a launching point, that was really, I think, for our podcast too, like, a pivotal part of the development. Because we were still getting, back in 2015, even when Life of Pablo, like, right before Life of Pablo was coming out, we still had days where we were getting zero plays whatsoever on the podcast. Mm. But it was through the interaction, just posting and connecting with people on R. Kanye, that the podcast really started getting some legs, getting some listeners, getting some consistent fans. And our Twitter account, I think, was kind of born from that interaction as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think I think it might have been through the sub that I found you guys too. I think I saw you guys, like, replied to a post or something and it mentioned your podcast, and I went and looked it up and I was like, oh, hey, this is good. Okay, yeah. So I'd say besides, like, the Dissect podcast, probably you guys are the one I listen to the most often, I think.
Hey, nice.
Yeah, there you go, little ego boost.
It's just it's funny how they're, like, R. Kanye and KTT have both been so, I think, instrumental for a lot of the outgrowth of the Kanye community onto just different platforms, or even just with different personalities within the Kanye community.
Yeah, I've heard so much about KTT, but I've never actually, like, been on there before.
Oh, it's a madhouse.
Yeah, no, I've heard it's like if you took the Kanye sub on, like, album day and, like, ramped it up to 11, you know. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and you have no nested comments. So imagine everybody trying to, like, respond to each other in just, like, a linear thread.
Like, oh man,
can't follow any of this. But they have their own method, their madness.
No, yeah, it's fair. And it is fun to see kind of the different personalities and different, like, cultures evolve in these, like, Kanye sub areas, because, you know, the R. Kanye and then KTT, and then even on, like, Twitter and stuff, you'll have different sort of sub communities that all have their different, you know, way of talking about things.
Yeah, have you, as being somebody that was involved with R. Kanye or just Twitter Kanye community in general, now that you kind of have your own Did Yandy Drop community, in a sense, that's kind of a slice of the Kanye
community
fandom.
But yeah.
Yeah, have you noticed that it has its own kind of personality and its own rhythm to it?
Yeah, sort of. It's, you know, it's kind of weird. It's kind of one of those things where it's hard to get a grasp on kind of, you know, your own, you know, personal area, because you're like, well, I don't have, you know, everyone thinks they don't have, like, an accent or something. It's like, I don't, it's like sometimes I'll be in my community and be like, this is just a bunch of random people. But in, you know, like I said, kind of a depressed community, I've noticed there's a lot of you know, defeatist sort of thinking, like, oh cool, so we're, like, never getting another album, right? Like that. Especially around, you know, the whole Jesus is King fiasco that's been happening, and, like, is that ever going to come out either? And, you know, so yeah, there's a bit of a culture, I think, but it's, you know, I think it's more sort of a culture that's played for laughs rather than, you know, the actual thinking for the most part.
Right. But it's been, I'm sure, like, a strong inroad just into discussions you can have on Twitter, on other posts, absolutely, and other threads. Like, you have 902 tweets, so you've definitely been.
Yeah, no, I've been a busy man last year.
Yeah. But do you have some favorite moments so far from running the account?
Oh man. My favorite post that I made was absolutely the clown one on Jesus King night, like the first night that it was supposed to come out. I think it's my pinned tweet right now, but I think I spent probably way too much time making that, because I downloaded like a bunch of just random like YouTube videos along with like clown music, and I exported it to Apple Music, then went in and changed all the names and the info and whatnot, only to find out that screen recording wasn't allowed on Apple Music. Like, it would mute the audio. So I had to record the video, then export it back to my computer and like add the audio on top. So I did all that for nothing anyways.
Man,
But
so you had like a full, that sounds like a full evening of just.
I probably spent like at least like an hour and a half or something making that one post. And oh man, it was the dumbest thing, but I was just having a great time with it, and I was like, I need to keep doing this because this is gonna be hilarious. And that's the most fun I've had, probably making like one post or whatever. I don't know. As sad as that whole Jesus is King thing was, that was like the most fun time for the account, because there was so much going on and so much like speculation and hype. And I was questioning like, is this Yandy? Does it count? Am I free? Am I stuck in hell?
Yeah, have you determined what the answer is for
Does it matter? That's the real question now.
that? Man.
That's. Because I don't know, I put out a poll and it was like 53-47, so it's pretty split as to whether I should or not. It was like 53 yes, 47 no.
If final results were 55-45, if that's any
Really?
better.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it's slightly better, but I was hoping for at least something more decisive either way, but I can't complain with the will of the people. I don't know. I'd like to lean towards yes, sort of, because I feel like it's, kind of Yandy sort of stripped away of everything but the skeleton and then built on top of that. Obviously, it's got an entirely different, sort of theme, and but I feel like there's at least components and ideas from Yandy that were brought over. So I see it more of like an evolution, sort of, than a completely different album. But.
I think that's fair. Like, I still very much believe So Help Me God is just the early version of Life of Pablo.
Yeah,
And
that's fair.
he had like a vision for it, an idea for it, but wasn't happy with the first draft and went back. And what we eventually got was Life of Pablo. Would So Help Me God have sounded different if like Piss on Your Grave really was on it and some of the other tracks that got thrown out to other people? Like, definitely, but that's why it didn't come out.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Man, Life of Pablo was so that's fun fact about me, I used to be one of those, because Life of Pablo is the first album that I listened to of Kanye's consciously.
Nice.
Like, I'd obviously heard, Gold Digger before, I'd heard Heartless, I'd heard Stronger, kind of the mainstream hits. But before that, I was kind of, keep in mind, I was like 15 or 16 at this time. And so up until that point, I had always. Man, I like through middle school, I was always one of those people that's like, yeah, I don't listen to like mainstream music today. I listen to underground bands. Like, you ever heard of Pink Floyd and Queen, dude? That's real music. Yeah, and they're great bands, but I was very, I don't know, holier than thou, I guess, with my music tastes.
It's some pretentious about or pretensions about
Yeah, a little bit of pretend. Anyone who's been through middle school knows.
guilty of charge
But
today.
yeah. Oh man, I feel like you got to have at least a little bit of a sense of that to run a music podcast. But yeah, no, so I had always kind of just kind of agreed with the mainstream opinion, been like, yeah, rap is just about like cars and sex and women and money, and like I always thought Kanye was just like an asshole who just makes loud music. But then I had a friend who was, going on about the whole, fiasco with the Life of Pablo dropping and whatnot, because at that point, that was like the wildest Kanye rollout. Little did we know what was coming. Yeah, so he was talking to me about it, and then he showed me. And so the first Kanye song I ever like actively sought out and listened to was Ultralight Beam. And I'd say if you wanted to get me hooked on Kanye, that was probably like the best start. Because I remember thinking, I was like, I didn't ever think, any music, let alone like rap or Kanye for me at that point, could make me feel just the raw emotion that that song made me feel and still makes me feel to this day. That's why it's always been like one of my most, you know, one of my favorite songs of his. So Life of Pablo is my first. And then after that, I just kind of, you know, went through the rest of the album, sort of hopped around and saw what else I liked. But
jedes Business hat Ambitionen und PayPal Open ist die Plattform, um sie wahr werden zu lassen. So können Sie als HändlerInnen bezahlt werden, wie Ihre Kundschaft es möchte. Und egal wo, online, im Laden oder unterwegs. Und wenn es Zeit ist zu wachsen, bietet PayPal ein Netzwerk aus Hunderten von Millionen PayPal-NutzerInnen weltweit. Und schnelle Finanzierungsoptionen und Tools, damit Sie ganz locker expandieren können. Das ist PayPal Open. Eine Plattform für alle Arten von Business. Erfahren Sie mehr auf paypalopen.de.
It does seem like that would have been a great entry point, just given like the epicness of it and coming off of, say, like Pink Floyd and Queen and the heights that they reach and kind of the scope and scale that they go for. Like,
yeah,
going from thinking that rap and hip hop had to have been on a much like thinner level or had less going on.
Yeah, like
on.
Not as meaningful or something, you know.
Yeah, and then to hear that, you're just like, oh.
Yeah, okay, I see. Yeah, no. Had I, you know, no offense to Yeezus, love the album, and I know you do too. Had I started with Yeezus, I mean, I probably wouldn't have, like, immediately been like, yes, this guy's great, you know?
You mean that on site would it have reinforced your stereotypes about...
Man, Kanye only makes loud rap. Let's listen to On Sight to change my mind.
Yeah, you would have to start with, if you were starting with Yeezus, somebody would have to be like, we're going to start with the song called Blood on the Leaves first. Then we're going to come back and, I don't know, we'll work through it.
Let's put some, like, Bound 2 in there, you know, a little easy into it.
Yeah, shuffle Yeezus. So, do you remember what it was specifically, like emotion-wise, that resonated with you so strongly about Ultra Light Beam?
Oh man, that's tough. Man, I don't know. I'm not like a religious person, but like there was just something about the like sort of gospel-y-ish, like sort of gospel rap feel about that song that just really like it just got to me. I don't know if it was like, you know, the chorus or like, you know, what it was, but oh man, it's hard to even put into words how that song made me feel.
There's such tremendous build going from kind of the, not fragmentedness, but kind of the space that is Kanye's portion before getting into the emotion of, oh, Price, I forget her first name, and Chance heading then into the choir at the end where you're just like, how did we get here?
Right. That choir was like, I think that was probably the biggest moment for me. The choir and Chance's verse are my probably favorite moments on that song. And that's, you know, that's still probably my favorite Chance verse even today. You know, I've listened through his whole discography, but man, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Chance on Twitter before.
Did you?
I was in a group chat with him. And so, you know, people were freaking out or whatever. And I just asked him, I'm like, hey, what's your like favorite verse? And I think he said Ultralight Beam was like either his favorite, if not like top three of his favorites.
That's a pretty good moment to have.
Yeah, it was cool. And I also felt validated because I was like, see, I was right.
I got taste. I got taste.
I know what I'm talking about with music.
So when you finished Life of Pablo for the first time, and did you still have any doubts or hesitations about how you felt about Kanye? Did the whole album start to finish kind of work for you? Did it take some time to come back to?
Yeah, I mean, there were some parts on the album that kind of threw me for a loop for a bit. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, if you ask me now, I love pretty much the album front to back. This is a fantastic album. At the time, and I think I had my first listening was on like the like quote unquote like unfinished version, you know, so that might have played into a part of it. But, you know, I remember thinking crazy as it sounds, at first I was not a huge fan of like the Real Friends Wolves kind of, you know, Jack List or whatever.
Yeah.
Which
well,
now
it was
is
nice having you on the show so long. No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. that'll be it for me. Yeah, but you know, now listening to it, I'm like, how could I have ever like not like this? This is beautiful. You know, so like it immediately didn't hit, but you know, it was one of the, you know, I listened to it and I was like, all right, that was pretty good. That, you know, that was better than I was expecting from it. And then kind of, you know, started to slowly listen to it more and more often. It kind of got more incorporated into like my daily music listening. And after that happened, then I started to branch out into the other albums too. And so,
yeah. What stood out to you when you started going through the rest of the albums? Was it kind of a still like a slower process? Like you'd listen to one here and there, kind of like it go on to the next, or you kind of like have a weekend where you just run through them all?
Yeah. So for me, it wasn't so much of running through, you know, I never like listened to an album front to back, then listened to the next album front to back. It was kind of, you know, a snippet of Dark Twisted Fantasy here, a snippet of Late Registration here, maybe get some Yeezus and maybe get, you know. But I do remember that My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and specifically Runaway were like the first couple. It was in like the first couple songs I listened to after Pablo, and Runaway immediately had me like floored. Like I was like, oh, okay, so this is music. and after that, I think it was like after Runaway, I listened to pretty much, that was like the one thing I pretty much listened to, like all of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy afterwards. And oof, that album was immediately just a love. I'd say Late Registration took a while for me to pick up on. I wasn't so high on it at first, but you know, the more I listened to it and the more I, you know, listened to specific songs, it became one of my favorites, I'd say.
It's interesting having that relationship with Kanye's music, because as I'm trying to think of what the egotistical as we felt about like our idea of Kanye's discography when we first started the podcast, like going back through as often as we have, listening to the songs as closely as we have, it's just been fascinating personally to have the experience of how the albums shift and how the relationship with certain albums changes over time.
Yeah.
You can feel closer to one for a period than another, or finally click. I used to rate Graduation at the very bottom and be like,
yeah, I've gone through that too, where I've been like, I don't know, I just can't vibe with it. Like, it's good, but out of all of his albums, you know, it's tough, because I never want to rank a Kanye album like last. Like, if I'm trying to go through and like be like, this is my favorite, you know, this is ranking all his albums front to last, I never want to rank any of them at the bottom, because even like the quote unquote worst ones are still some of my favorite albums. So it's, you know, it's tough.
Yeah. It always feels bad.
Right. And you know, that's the thing. It's like, if you ask, there are not as that many artists, I think, except besides like Kanye West, where you could ask 10 different fans, what's your favorite album, and, or like, what order would you rank the albums, and get 10 like completely different answers.
Yeah. I tried doing the specific album point when we were doing a live show at South by Southwest, and we had like 40 people in the room. I was like, this is how diverse Kanye is, like, how people feel about what the best album is. I was like, raise your hand if you think it's this. And My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and like 90% of the people raised their hand. And I was like,
yeah,
never mind.
Yeah, no, it's always fun. I've had people that are like, okay, but that's like the basic pick. And I'm like, yeah, but it's basic because that's like the one consensus one that everyone can agree is near the top.
Yeah.
It's just a masterpiece.
Fundamental for a reason.
Depending on my mood, I'll rank the albums completely differently. You know, there are days when I'm like, hell yeah, I need me some Yeezus, and then there are the days when it's like, all right, 808s, your time to shine, you know.
Yeah, those 808s days ones are very cathartic. You're like, all right, felt good. It felt bad, but it felt good.
Right. No, I'll have driving down, like driving home from work or something late at night, and just have street lights come on, and it's like, all right, we're here now.
I can't wait to. I'm excited to watch this Jesus is King movie just because I hear there's a new rendition of Streetlights on it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Now you're speaking my language. That is. Oh, I don't know. I for as much as I love that song, I feel like I don't hear nearly enough talk about it sometimes.
No, it feels extremely underrated. I mean, but it's a lot like there's a I know there's like a big group of people that loves it, but it still feels
Yeah.
like it doesn't get enough.
It doesn't get the recognition that like other songs in the album do, like, you know, Heartless or Amazing, Love Lockdown, those kind of things.
Yeah, like it should consistently be top three on that album. Yeah, but everybody has different. I feel defensive
Yeah,
over
it's
Streetlights.
no, I get that. I completely feel that. It's tough trying to rank any Kanye song or album because they all bring such different things to the table. And that I think is that's one of the things that really caught me off guard, I think, when I first went through the discography, is how every album has its own like distinct sound. Like if you hear a Kanye song, you can immediately think, okay, that's from College Dropout. Or like that one's Kids See Ghosts, you know. It's such a range.
Yeah, there's a few artists that are like big deal, and I'm thinking about one specifically that I don't want to name, but I feel like all of his, despite how beloved his albums are to like a lot of the Kanye community too, every time I listen, I'm just like, that sounds the same as every other song that I've heard, like over and
Yeah.
over again.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that, you know, having like similar sounding songs, but I think that's what makes Kanye such a dynamic artist is his ability to make so many different sounds and yet still have the same consistent quality song after song after song after album after album.
Did you ever have that moment where you just realize like, okay, I'm a Kanye fan and I'm saying that out loud to people? 'Cause I feel like it's still it can be weird in this day to like say it out loud to people.
Unpopular opinion, but I think Kanye fans are the most depressed group in the world. No, yeah, I still get flack from my friends. I'm very openly a Kanye fan, and I've accepted it for all its greatness and all of its flaws. You know, I'm ride or die, but my friends will still give me some shit for it sometimes. So, that I mean, it was probably, I don't know, it was before Ye and before Kids See Ghosts dropped, but not much longer before, I think, when I was officially like, all right, yeah, 100% Kanye is the number one artist.
Speaking of your friends, have they had a reaction to the account? Do they like how do they discuss the growth of Did Yandy Drop?
Oh man, I will never let my one friend forget about when you know, after the Kanye post and it jumped up to like 200 some followers. I was like, guys, it's growing now. And he's like, chill out, dude. It's like 200 followers, all right? It's not that much. I just never let him forget it. But I don't know. They seem to have enjoyed it and stuff. They sometimes joke about it for me. They'll send like Kanye tweets in our like group chat and be like, all right, so the album's not coming out. Like at me. And you know, sometimes they'll send me, they'll be like, hey, this is a really good tweet. Like, you know, if I tweet something that they think is really funny, they'll let me know.
Nice.
Yeah, no, they for the most part, I think most of them enjoy it. And if they don't voice it to me, which I'm all right with. That's what friends are for, but
It's kind of funny because it's like at this point, voicing any kind of negativity towards it's become such an ingrained thing after like nearly a year of doing it and the size that it's grown. It's like you're saying what now?
For real, it's like I'm sorry, who are you? I'm too popular to talk to you. I have your agent call my agent. We'll
Yeah.
talk.
I'm gonna
No,
tweet
I
about this.
I like it.
Do
Yeah,
you
no, I was Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, do they serve as kind of a sounding board for some things? Do you run some ideas by people for in terms of content, or is it just kind of like you sit and think, you have some ideas and go?
I mean, sometimes I don't want to bother him with it because I don't want to be like, all right, guys, for my massive account, which has 11,000 followers, and, you know, I don't want to be like trying to like flex on him with an account that's, you know, still relatively small for a music community on Twitter. But I'll run things by him every once in a while. I'll be like, hey, if I tweeted like this, do you guys think it'd be funny? Just kind of get a little bit of a test and see if it'd be worth it or not.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is if someone will see me on Twitter and be like, oh, what you looking at? And I'll just be like, oh, you know, my Twitter and stuff. And they'll be like, oh, cool, let me follow you. And I'm like, all right, cool. And so I click on the profile thing thinking I'm still on my personal account. And the Did Yandy Drop pops up. And they'll be like, what is that? How many followers? And I'm like, it's a long story.
It's just such a long story.
It's hard to be like, yeah, it's an album about Kanye West, which they'll already probably judge me for. And I'll be like, yeah, it's a Twitter I made for an album that he didn't drop. And then I just say no every day. And it just feels like such an awkward conversation to have. And, you know, if you look at me, you probably wouldn't think, oh, yeah, that dude's probably like a huge Kanye dude who probably has a Twitter dedicated to one album that isn't out.
Right. They'd be like, you do what? Like, that's it's more concerning than it is impressive.
It's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I have the same experience sometimes when I meet, especially, like, because I work from home all the time. I'm not meeting so many mm-hmm. people, but I'll go out with my wife and some of her coworkers or something. I'll be like, oh, Chris, so, like, what do you do again? I'm like, oh, Kanye podcast? They're like, excuse me, what? Yeah, it's a Kanye West podcast. Right. It's just a thing. Or recently, there have been a couple groups that that have started playing the game Know Your Meme. And mm-hmm. you pick who goes first by how many social media followers they have. Which
That's good.
Yeah, it's fun, but also a little bit like, how do I best? These are all new people I'm meeting.
How do you say I have 20,000 followers without?
Right. And do I try like including, like, how would they respond if I then included like Instagram and YouTube as in the total? Like, no, probably just best to stick with.
Oh, man.
But it makes for some interesting conversations.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they get out there. It's still weird to me because, you know, it's if I loved, like, you know, Drake or like Khalid, like, you know, I have this appreciation for Kanye, it would be not nearly the same, I feel, because there wouldn't be that whole idea of like, it's like a dark secret you got to keep, you know.
Yeah, it is. I do wonder too. I guess I'm very outside a lot of the other, like, Twitter can feel very big and small all at once. Mm-hmm. And that
yes.
my Twitter's so full of Kanye people and Kanye fans that my whole view of Twitter is skewed in that direction. And I'm wondering, mm-hmm. like, would either of our accounts or concepts work as well for a Drake, for an Eminem? Like, what is. How is the community there compared to the Kanye community?
Right. I think the first question you got to ask is, what other artist announces an album, then doesn't drop it, then waits for a year, announces another album, doesn't drop that album, you know? So, for me, I think it might be a little more of a niche concept, but yeah, no, I feel you. It's, you know, they say, I don't know, like no press is negative or whatever. So I feel like with Kanye, that brings a lot of attention to anything related to him.
Yeah, people keep talking about, is this announcement and not announcing, or announcing and not releasing, like a marketing strategy?
Yeah, for like selling merchandise and whatnot.
Yeah, just like, you know, he doesn't have to do anything else but do this, and then when the album comes out next month, everybody's going to be aware of it. Like,
which is, yeah, I understand, and I feel like if you haven't like followed Ye before and you just kind of see this stuff happening, I could see that being like the impression. But I feel like people who like really have, you know, listened to Kanye and understand kind of what his whole thought process is, we, you know, it's kind of an understanding that, yeah, sometimes he makes claims he can't back up. And, you know, sometimes he listens, you know, he goes through and, you know, he's a perfectionist and he just wants to, you know, really complete the album. He's not happy with it yet. So.
Which, so was the fate of Yandhi, right?
Sadly, yeah. And, you know, I, my favorite thing is I have open DMs because, you know, I'm fine with people messaging me and I try and respond to people as best I can. And I don't get to everyone, but I try to. I do have a few that I never respond to, and it's like people who are like, hey, could you like retweet this or like give me a shout out? No. hey, could you hey, you like check out my music on SoundCloud? And it's like, I mean I get the hustle, man, but like I'm just a freshman in college with no music connections. I can't do anything for you, even if I like it, it's not gonna help. So you're kind of wasting your time messaging me about that. But a lot of people message me like, hey man, have you heard the Yandhi leaks? Hey dude, there's Yandhi leaks out there. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Believe me, I know. But like, that doesn't count. That's not an official drop. So, you know, but yeah, every time I listen to those Yandhi leaks, I still get a little sad because I think a full version of that would have been really good.
Yeah, what could have been? I still have it listened to the full album leak.
Yeah, there have been a couple that I've missed, but I know, you know, like 80 Degrees, the one that keeps getting renamed, is it was like Chakras and then like The Storm or something like that. I don't, they're good. Yeah, I just wish we could have gotten a full version, you know.
It would have been so nice. It would have been so nice. And now I hear nice things about Jesus is King too. Like,
I do too. I was jealous. I had a friend, I've got a friend who goes to NYU, and he knows some people who, so he got into the Jesus is King one in New York, and he told me, he's like, yeah, and I got to like meet Kanye, and I'm
what
like,
what the fuck?
I'm like, bro, you're just gonna make me mad. Stop.
Wow.
And he's like, I didn't get to say much to him. I was like, you should have just like been like, hey, my friend runs an account.
Right. But, you know. Now you're in your friend's DM. Like,
there you go. Yeah.
Tell Kanye about me. Like,
hey, could you give me a shout out?
Yeah.
The roles are reversed.
Yeah. That would have been awesome to get to meet Kanye.
For real. That's the one thing. Being such a new, you know, fan, I kind of hopped on board after like the Life of Pablo tour. And since then there's been nothing. So I'm hoping someday I'll get to see him live, but
yeah, maybe, you know. Sunday service will roll through close enough to where you are and
get for real
go through. I'm hoping we get some kind of tour with whatever's upcoming, though. It'll be interesting if it is like a Jesus is King tour. I guess it'll just be like going to church.
Yeah, everyone's got to wear suits and dresses and whatnot to the concert.
Could you imagine?
I mean, it'd be unique. He, you know, he doesn't shy away from having unique concerts, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'd be very curious about that. That'd be fun.
That'd be an interesting concept.
Well, so do you have a current kind of a top three albums?
Oh, man. That's tough. I think My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy probably has and always will be number one for me, unless something amazing comes out that'll top it. After that, it gets, you know, kind of murky. It shifted a lot. I think, I don't know, I've been listening to a lot of Late Registration recently, so I'd say that's probably number two, I think. I just love just kind of the jazzy feel of that whole thing. Such a nice difference. And then, oh, man, for number three, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. It's probably either Life of Pablo or, like, Kitsy Ghosts. It's just, I wish Kids to Ghosts was longer, but for what's there, there's such quality on that.
Yeah, I often forget that it's just seven tracks. Like, it
for real,
it feels larger than what it is at times. And then other times I listen to it and I'm like, man,
it's like, that's good, but like, where's the full course? Come on.
Yeah, it's like I get ramped up and then it's over.
Yeah.
And do you have a top five favorite songs right now, or just some songs off the top of your head that
oh man I mean, Runaway has always been like special to me, just because that's been like, that's like the one thing that really pushed me over the hedge. And same with Ultralight Beam. Those two are always going to be in there just because of how they're really the ones that pushed me into listening to the whole discography. I mean, that's tough. Oh man, I was expecting some softball questions, man.
No, hard hitting journalism right here.
Of course, yeah. Cuddy Montage, I've always really enjoyed. It's my favorite song off Kids to Ghost by far, and one of my favorites. And then I think Real Friends and Wolves, just kind of those two tracks right next to each other, have so much power. If I listen to one, I have to listen to the other. That's the rules.
Yeah, it's like a jab and an uppercut.
For real. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like those two songs, they're very good on their own by far, but like together, there's, you know, something special.
Yeah. And they even like flow into each other so well.
Right.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be like listening to like the All the Lights interlude without following it up with All the Lights. You know, it's good, but it's like there's something missing.
Yeah.
You know?
Just don't do that.
Yeah. That's why.
Scary.
Hey everybody, we recorded the initial episode, of course, before Jesus is King came out, but now that it's actually out, wanted to catch up with Jackson again real fast and just see how he's feeling, you know, this first week in November, given a little bit of time to actually have the relief of the album coming out, and then I don't know, some time to think about the album and what's next. So Jackson, thanks for being back.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad I get to share my thoughts on the album.
Yeah, so, I mean, at what point were you convinced it was actually going to come out?
When I actually saw it on Apple Music, probably. that was when I was like, oh, cool, it's like actually out. Nice.
There it is. Thank goodness.
A little too many times.
Did you have an immediate feeling, thought? Because, I mean, this account had been like almost a year at that point.
Yeah. I think my thought was, if I say yes or if I say no, it's just going to piss off half of the people, so I got to make a choice. My first thought wasn't even like, oh, thank God it's over. My first thought was, great, now I got to figure out what I'm doing.
Yeah, what do I say? Like, there's a weird pressure on you then.
Mm-hmm.
You went with It's Yandi 2.0, I'm counting it. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, you know, it's basically what Yandi's turned into. We're not getting the actual Yandi pretty much ever, let's be honest. So right. I was like, I don't want to just run this account forever. I don't want to set a bot up. So I'm counting it.
And, you know, it did well. Is that your most successful tweet to date? 5,500 likes?
Yeah, probably something. It's either that one or the one I made the night that Jesus King was supposed to drop with like the clown music and whatnot. It was one of those. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah. I was pretty pleased actually. There's a lot of people that were like, you know, hey, it's like, that's cool. We'll support you. It's your account. You do what you want with it. We'll stick around. And I'm like, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Response has been good.
Yeah. I found it to be pretty good. And I've actually gotten a really decent amount of engagement on just kind of the stupid stuff I've been posting afterwards. So,
yeah, I was scrolling through earlier. I was just like 1,700, 1,500, like getting all these 1,000 comment posts.
Yeah.
I mean, it is giving you more creativity to talk about some other things other than just the album.
Into like one tweet a day of just some variation of no.
Yeah, you get to flex a bit more.
Yeah. At the same time, though, it does, because, you know, that gave such like a structure to it. It was like every day I'd always have at least something to tweet about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now you gotta look a bit
stuff
more.
Yeah. It takes more effort now.
Effort. No.
Who wants to try to get followers, not me?
You're so cursed. So cursed. Well, so, and then how'd you feel about the album itself?
So initially, I was kind of lukewarm on it, not going to lie. I thought there were some highs, some lows. I was pleased with it, like the sound of it, but when I like actually read the lyrics sometimes, I was like, I don't know. I feel like it's grown on me even in the few, like, you know, couple weeks it has been. You know, there have been some songs that I've really enjoyed on it. Use This Gospel is great. I like Follow God. Closed on Sunday, I just... Man, I don't like that Chick-fil-A line. It just takes me out of it. But other than that, I really like that song. So, you know, it's been a mixed bag. I like it. I think it could have been better, though. But at the same time, knowing Kanye, he would have just kept it in the vault forever if he kept trying to work on it, you know.
Right. There eventually comes a time where it just has to be like, you know what? All right, here we go.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
Out into the world. Yeah. So would you say Use This Gospel is your favorite?
It's probably the one I've listened to the most, yeah. I'd have to kind of go through and, you know, do like a full recheck to figure out which one's like truly my favorite. But I'd say probably Use This Gospel, yeah. I don't know, just something about that beat and that sax, Kenny G.
It's a nice combination of elements. It's my favorite Kanye singing moment ever, too, which surprised me. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he gets some good notes on there. You don't always get with the Kanye singing track, but, you know.
Well, so then, do you have an idea of what you're going to do with the account moving forward?
I mean, it's going to stay Kanye related, you know. It's going to be to do with him, maybe to do with rap in general, hip-hop and rap in general, with, like, a more of a focus on Kanye. Because, you know, there's other artists that I like, you know. I got Frank Ocean, Kendrick. the basic, you know, teenage white boy, I listen to hip-hop.
Starter pack, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Have you guys heard of Tyler, the Creator, and Frank Ocean? The kind of underground.
Just, you know, I just like things that are a little more...
I'm not like other boys. I listen to hip-hop and...
I'm not like other boys. Oh, yeah, man. Perfect.
I just want to say, just because I remembered, I forgot to share this on the last podcast, I had developed the theory that perhaps Yandy was... stolen from Kanye. Perhaps there was a little Clay-Z action in there.
Oh.
See, my theory is that Clay was going to steal what Yandy was going to be to try and force Jay and Kanye to make an album together.
Oh, my God.
See, I'm thinking Clay-Z, he's like, listen, Kanye said something about Throne 2. There's been nothing about it since. We got to try and expedite this process.
I like the idea that expedite becomes like the key word for Clay-Z, just in general. It makes sense, though. I remember him sending a text message that was just like, you're going to thank me later. And I had no idea what that meant. But now that
you know,
this theory would put that all in perspective.
He knew, you know, he knew it'd be a disappointment that we lost Yandy. But sometimes the hardest sacrifices require the strongest wills.
That's... You're exactly right with that.
And I believe that's the philosophy that Clay-Z lives by.
I think it's the only philosophy he lives by.
He's a chaotic neutral. He's just...
Right. You just never know what Clay-Z's going to get up to. He's feels like he's everywhere. Feels like he can do anything.
He's everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
What a man he is. What a clone he is. But
a mystery.
He hates the C word.
you can't say that. It's almost as bad as saying boomer. Ooh.
Oh.
I can't believe I just said that on air. Oh, man.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
That's, come onto the show, and this is a nice, respectable show.
I'm sorry. I forgot where I was.
You dropped the B word. B word.
I went... Well, you know, my vision just went white with rage there for a second. I just,
you millennials calling boomers boomers.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Any other final thoughts on the album, future moving forward, anything else?
I don't know. I mean, my biggest thing is, you know, we've seen it. This wouldn't be the first time with Kanye albums. You just got to give it time. I definitely think there was a pretty kind of middling response when it came out and then like a couple days afterwards. But I think with time, you'll see that a lot of people, Jesus is King grows on him. And I'm pretty confident that'll probably happen with me too. It took a while for Jesus to grow on me. So
yeah, why not Jesus King? It seems to be the way of Kanye albums at this point. Just like, what the hell is this? And then
not appreciated until a few years after they drop.
Yeah, then it's just like, you know what?
This was pretty good.
I think you see it with it.
the huge upbringing that Life of Pablo's seen in recent years, at least that I have. I think I've seen a lot of people with like, you know, Life of Pablo's a top three Kanye album, and I didn't see that in 2016, 2017.
No, I Travis and I were certainly saying it, but overall on Twitter, definitely wasn't seeing it. And most people that I know in person are just like, Kanye, what? No, get away. So I didn't have
it. To be fair, yeah. We've learned that you and Travis are ahead of the curve.
You know, in constantly just praising everything he does, we have
see,
a 50-50 chance.
Eventually people come around to it.
Yep. It's a simple numbers game. Just give it time.
But no, I think the album's good. I'm still a Big Ye fan, still going to be shit posting on Twitter still.
Beautiful.
Just going to be doing my thing.
Beautiful. Well, looking forward to it. And I don't know, tweet again soon. It's been since November 3rd.
Absolutely. It's been a couple of days. I'm running low on material.
Yeah. What are you doing here? Come on.
I don't know. I'm just slacking, you know?
Yeah. Well, you'll get it together soon, I trust. There's always the next Kanye album on the way. I
appreciate it. That's true. We'll be waiting for Jesus Is Born in Christmas. Yeah. If we don't get that, maybe a new album. Maybe a new Twitter pops up.
Scary.
Well, so I think we're at the time for your last call. Before you get going, which is your uninterrupted period to talk about whatever you want and close out the show, I just want to say thank you, Jackson, for coming on and sharing some details about...
I appreciate it.
Did Yandy drop and your experience with the account?
Yeah, no. And yeah, it's been a good time running the account. And, you know, I want to change it up to something new, maybe at some point. We'll see, but I also don't want to, you know. I know if I do that, I'll lose a bunch of followers, which is fine, but I want people to, you know, if I ever do that, stick around, you know, to see what's up next. It'll obviously be EA related if I do it, but, I don't know. You know, like I said, my DMs are always going to be open, and I try and respond to people. I don't get to everyone just because I get a lot of, you know, DMs. But I do try, and I've had people in there that talk about, you know, anything. People have come in there and be talking about Kanye, obviously. But I've had people come in. I remember there was one dude. He was like a single father, and he was talking about how like he just lost his job or whatever, but like, you know, he was struggling to find a new one. But he's like every time I see your account on Twitter, though, it just makes me smile, because he's like, it's fun to see someone that dedicated to something so relatively pointless. So I had a good talk with him, you know, and that was crazy, just to think that I could have an impact at all on someone, but especially, you know, someone who's going through some rough stuff. So, you know, I've made sure to keep in contact with him and whatnot. But, you know, basically, I mean, I can't really do a whole lot, I guess. I'm not a licensed anything. I mean, I'm still in college, just trying to get through life. But anytime people want to talk about literally anything, you know, I got my DMs there. It's, you know, I feel like I have sort of a responsibility-ish, you know. I've got 11,500 people that follow me, so I should probably do something, you know, decent with that following instead of just, you know, saying no every day. But for the foreseeable future, I'll be saying no every day. So that's that for me.
And they ask me, they ask me, they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. Yeah. Here's to the rock.
This is the last call for alcohol for the
Ist dein Lieblingspodcast schon wieder vorbei? Kein Problem. Dann geh in die Verlängerung mit 66% mehr Daten bei Aldi Talk für alle Neu- und Bestandskunden. Hol dir dein Kombipaket mit 25, 50 oder 100 GB inklusive 5G und Allnet Flat schon ab 8,99 €. Oder hol dir für nur 1 Euro mehr Tarife, bei denen du unendlich Daten kostenlos nachbuchen kannst. Jetzt auf alditalk.de oder in der Aldi Talk App. Aldi. Gutes für alle.